The news from Lake Wobegon is brought to you by Fiber One Honey Cluster Cereal. With a touch of sweet honey and brown sugar, each serving has more than half of the daily value of fiber. Fiber One. Cardboard no, delicious yes.
Let's spend a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's been raining this week. There was heavy rain, buckets of water coming down, and yet in the heaviest rain you could see the lightning bugs out there in the pasture all text messaging each other and flashing back and forth looking for mates the only way that they could. Rainy nights, rainy days bring back memories to me of Julie Christensen, who I was in love with. She was my best friend in 7th and 8th grade. She was somebody I could talk to about anything. And when it was raining out, we'd go sit in her porch, and we'd sit on that porch swing, the two of us together, and we'd talk about life. I told her I was afraid of girls. I was afraid of girls laughing at me. Well, she said, don't say funny things then. And I've tried to follow that advice as best I could. She said, you just have to touch girls. That's what girls want. They want to be touched. Go ahead, she said. I'll show you. And so I touched her. I touched the back of her neck, and I touched her shoulders, and I ran my fingers along her arm and down the beautiful curve of her back. She was wearing a one-piece bathing suit, and I ran my fingernails lightly down her spine. She said, lighter, lighter, not so heavy. I was excited. But she didn't seem to be. It just all seemed to be an academic exercise to her. It's a beautiful time of year. How could one not be in love? All these fresh things coming out of the garden, the rhubarb are ripe, and people picking rhubarb now for weeks they've been, and strawberries they're picking, and fresh spinach and zucchini and radishes as well. You could make a meal out of just this. You could make an interesting salad out of it and make rhubarb and strawberry pie, and the asparagus is fresh. You could steam that and serve it with butter. That's all you would need for courtship, would be just to feed somebody fresh food from your garden. It's the end of the school year. Thursday was the last day of school in Lake Wobegon, and all the children were released in this great air of euphoria. The last tests were taken on Thursday, and kids brought home big brown bags full of old homework assignments and workbooks, and they burnt them in a bonfire. They came home and they lay on their beds and they just inhaled the air of freedom to be able to go where you wish and do what you want. This great freedom to lie out on the grass and just to look at the boughs of trees and not have to identify them and not have to describe their circulatory systems and how they get nourishment and how they procreate, but just leave the trees to do that on their own and not feel that we have to understand it or analyze it. This beautiful feeling of euphoria and the freedom of summer, which of course depends on having had strict teachers who held you to account. That's the only thing that makes summer feel so glorious. Opposites, you know, setting each other off. If you'd had teachers that were only warm and supportive and loving, then summer would be nothing at all. You see, you need opposites. Scripture says this. Suffering is what produces hope, you see. You need to have the suffering in order to have the hope. If your life is just all good luck, then you have no hope whatsoever. Scripture makes this clear. You work like a horse for winter and all right up until the second week of June. And then finally, you take off and you go to your old family lake cabin that's been in your family for 60 years. And you walk in and you just tears come to your eyes, just the sheer pleasure of it, the sheer pleasure of vacation. You need these things. It was graduation Thursday night at the football field, and everybody in town was there. Even the Norwegian bachelor farmers were up in their own section, sitting up on the grass on the visitor's side, you know. Everyone was there, even people without children graduating as the class of 2010 marched in to pomp and circumstance, and parents standing there weeping. People who hadn't wept in years were shedding tears, just a pure reflex, seeing your child, your baby, walk across in her blue gown, her blue satin gown, and pomp and circumstance playing. And now something has passed from you, and you will never, ever tell her to go to bed again, ever, for 18 years. You've had this responsibility, and now this child will decide for herself, and you will go to bed in your own time, and you will go to sleep and not think about this. This is an enormous, enormous change that takes place. Mr. Halverson, the superintendent, was watching the seniors as they marched onto the field, watching them for bulges under their gowns, watching them closely. He had cased the field early. He had 20 teachers on security patrol watching. He had checked underneath the platform for buckets of pig manure or for hoses. There's a long tradition in Lake Wobegon that the senior class has some big prank during the graduation ceremony. It's a matter of honor for each graduating class that they try to surpass the one before. There was the year that he stood up at the podium and then realized that the brakes were off and it started to roll forward. And he capsized onto the grass. There have been many, many incidents involving water and sprays of water coming out of the lectern and hitting him in a very bad place. There was the year when he started his car and the rockets went off under the hood. So he was watching very, very carefully as Elizabeth Schwarzkopf, the valedictorian, stood up and gave her speech about how we should make a difference in the world, which he listened to warily. He had told all of the teachers on patrol to watch very, very carefully because somebody's going to try to pull something. And if we let them get away with it, then anarchy will be loosed upon the world. She gave her speech, Elizabeth, and then she turned to him and she presented him with a gift from the class of 2010. It was an iPhone. He took it from her as if taking a hand grenade. She thanked him for all that he had done for them, and she started to weep, and he put the iPhone into his shirt pocket. The class orator came up and he gave his speech about how we are all connected. We're all a part of the whole. No man is an island unto himself. Ask not for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. And that was when his iPhone started to ring in Mr. Halverson's pocket. He took it out and he tried to turn it off and it would not go off. It was ringing and ringing, and then he heard a voice come out of it, and it was his own voice from his speech to the graduation baccalaureate, in which he said, "Life is what you make it." The phone said that to him over and over and over. Life is what you make it. And then he saw the bird coming in. It was flapping its wings very slowly, automatically, and it was heading straight towards him. He started to run. He ran across the grass, and he fell, and the bird hit him in the back of the head, and it was pecking at his head. It was pecking at his head, and then he realized what this iPhone was all about. And he threw the iPhone off to the, and the bird was programmed to go for the iPhone.
and the bird was pecking at it, and the iPhone was saying, life is what you make it, life is what you make it. Somebody picked up the iPhone and tossed it into the crowd of seniors, and they threw it back and forth from one to the other, and the bird flying in their midst, flying, life is what you make it, life is what you make it. They all recessed, all went off to whatever the future may hold, and the rest of us left with just our memories of a rainy night. The rain held off until the end of graduation, and then I thought about Julie Christensen and how beautiful were her shoulders and her beautiful arms with the golden fuzz on her forearms and the beautiful curve of her back. Oh, don't get me started. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.